And so here we are once again. It is the first Sunday of Lent, and this year, like every year, we find ourselves led into the wilderness with Jesus, famished. And once again, we enter into these three essential tests of Jesus. Now, what I find so interesting about all three of these temptations is that somehow, later in Jesus' own ministry, he will participate in each of them. Feeding hungry people with bread, yes, by the thousands. Proclaiming a kingdom of justice at odds with the corrupt kingdoms of this world. Through story and action, with every chance he got. Putting his life into God's hands, awaiting God's own deliverance. The very mystery we are preparing to come close to. Isn't that what makes tests like these so seductive, so powerful, that they are close to what Jesus and what we are here to do? But in every one of them, there is what one scholar sees as a common thread, an alternative mission and destiny to the cross and Jesus' pronouncements of freedom for the oppressed, release for the captives, good news for the poor. Every time, in every test, the means are very similar, but the end which they point to, the end that gives Jesus' life meaning and purpose, is fundamentally different. Instead of the end being relationship with God and a closer relationship with God, a trust in God, the thread that the devil weaves always finds its way back to the self. That's why one of the most remarkable aspects of this series of wilderness encounters may be Jesus' own crystallized sense of who he was and who he wasn't, of whose he was and whose he wasn't. Because friends, let's be real. We are all faced with tests like these, often, especially when we are worn down, feeling compromised, anxious, or frightened. This is when the tests come. When we aren't at our strongest or most rested or present. And depending on what we're tested with, it can be so tempting to give in to the subtle pull of the plausible voice to the false alternative. The plausible voice to the false alternative. Right? Because that's what tempting or testing is. It's that voice. Sometimes it comes from another human. Sometimes it comes from within. It says, you know, you're not getting what you deserve. What about if you tried it this way? Am I alone in feeling like our nation these days and weeks seems to be churning in turmoil? Even as the two dominant political parties seem to have difficulty playing well with others, we face environmental crises, budgetary showdowns, the ending of two wars, an ever-widening chasm of wage and education, to say nothing of our national addiction to the supposed salvific effects of violence. Like the snake in Eden, the tempter is sowing with distrust and reaping the fruits of pettiness, falsehood, and discord. It's as if we've forgotten that we've ever heard the words of Martin King, when he prophesied that we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. And so it has been a welcome shift indeed to hear of the potential for immigration reform in this country. It may well have to do with the simple calculus of a changing electorate. But upon hearing that the so-called Gang of Eight might be near an agreement, I felt my heart strangely warmed. It was like water on parched land. Now, I too have heard the phrase, the devil's in the details, and the details have yet to emerge. There is yet time for distortion and lie to enter in. But friends, for the moment, listen to this. For the moment, there are groups as divergent as Focus on the Family, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Society of Friends, the Quakers, working together. Okay? Focus on the Family, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Society of Friends working together. Right? They all are looking for laws that care for the alien and the sojourner among us. In the midst of that ever-present cry of not in my backyard, what does this do for me? We must resist the temptation to simply look after who we think to be ourselves and instead to see families, students, all of us daughters and sons of wandering Arameans. You may have heard our Associate Rector, Kristen Krantz, preach a few weeks ago about this being an auspicious time in the life of this parish. We have been growing in depth and in breadth for a few years now, and we have been challenged by a bold vision of who God is calling us to be. And all of this will mean change. And change that will involve some sense of loss as well as gain. Last week, our vestry and staff were on retreat at St. Dorothy's Rest, and we wrestled with much of this, how we will reshape our Sundays to add a third Sunday morning service and an all-ages formation hour, and the ways that we can maintain intimacy and sense of community that we are so fed by. And throughout the weekend, and I am sure for months to come, we had to pay very close attention to where these changes are pointing. Because, friends, it is far easier to settle for something safer, something within our grasp, something closer to our own control. Let me tell you, we felt the pull, like the tide shifting the sand from around our feet. And we had to keep coming back to this question. How will this get us closer to this vision, to this end which we believe the Spirit is leading us? As we develop practices to find kinship with one another, as we increase our ability to worship God together, how will we also clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit those in prison, welcome the stranger? How will we share with others what we have received? How will our words and our actions be pointing us beyond ourselves? I have talked before about the challenges I find in striking balance in my life. Like many, given the work I take part in, I could be spending all day, every day, reading, praying, listening, talking, writing, visiting, meeting, and there still would be more to do. And the more for me, this is the hard part, the more for me always involves people. The people I've been called to serve. And so it's a real challenge for me to press pause, to close up the laptop, to hang up the phone or put the book down, and then to go home. Because I am rewarded in many ways by being here and doing this work. And it's a good thing. It's God's work, right? It's part of the sacred vows that I've taken. But here's the catch and the truth, friends. I find it all too easy to work through dinner time most days. Head home just in time for a kiss as the lights are being turned out in the boys' bedroom. And I know that this isn't the way I've been called to live. Because I can feel the fracturing, right? I'm not alone in this. I can hear the tempter in my ear. Just one more email. It doesn't take that long. And there are so many. You know, you need to get to that letter pretty soon. The preaching and presiding rota won't organize itself. Once you get done with it, you'll feel better. You'll feel more at ease. Except that there's a little bit more, and a little bit more. And without paying attention, it's about me doing it to get my job done. Now, this is some of what I am feeling tested by. For you, it may be different. But what would it look like for us, for you and for me, to live into the fullest sense of what God is calling us to be and to do? What would a resurrected, generative life be for this society, for this community, for us? What would our just fasts point us to? Because I have to say, often the fast from chocolate or from the Facebook, these are helpful. But they're just technical fixes. They aren't getting close to the change of mind, the metanoia that the Easter event is all about. Now, I would say that we need to get out into the wilderness for this time of change, this time of taking on another mindset. But I have the sense that many of us feel like we are already there. From the conversations with people day in and day out, I know that I'm not alone in having this sense that there is something not quite right, not quite whole about life as we are told that it is to be led. Just yesterday, I was confronted by a billboard on the peninsula that reads in giant letters, "Never clock out." That is the tempter. Whether it is because of choices we have made or because of choices others have made for us or because of the changes and the chances of life, we often find ourselves in the wilderness. These tests, they surround us. They sidle up next to us. They whisper to us. They distract us from the end that God wills for us. The end we seek but find so difficult to realize. Some folks here this morning may never have experienced the season of Lent. Some haven't practiced it in a while. Some are finding new and hallowed space within it. And here's what I would like to encourage for us all as we approach the mystery of Easter. As a nation, as a community, as Christians, pay close attention to what lies behind the question or the request or the possibility. Look further than the surface fear or need or frustration. Look deeply into what is being asked of you. What assumptions are being made? Where is trust being given? Where does the question find its end? Is it in security or power or control? Listen, feel, pray, and trust. Trust that the Spirit who precedes and guides, even into the wilderness, is close at hand, waiting to lead us on.